risers, welcome, welcome. Glad you're here this morning. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. If you have a Bible, where I'm going to begin teaching this morning, a couple of really well-known verses, very important verses, John chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 and 32. So if you have an app, you have the Bible, open it up. John 8, 31 and 32. You know, on a piggyback off of one of the things on the highlights, we have water baptisms coming up next weekend. We do these about every 6 weeks or so. But I know there are some of you, both online and in person, that you've recently, maybe in the last year or two, received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're trying to follow Him. And yet, for a myriad of reasons, you've never been water baptized yet. That's a very important next step for you. It's not too late to be water baptized next weekend. Just go onto our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, take our water baptism class, and then sign up to be water baptized at any one of our 3 weekend services next weekend. We would love, love, love to celebrate your being water baptized. Now, before we jump into the message, just want to mention, have you recovered from the Super Bowl yet? And more importantly, have you recovered from the Super Bowl of preaching yet? The Super Bowl of preaching. That was a lot of fun. Man, it was so rigged, though. I mean, I should have won that thing hands down. It was so rigged. Yeah. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. It may become an annual event. We'll have to wait and see. We're going to receive our offering, so if the ushers want to come forward, and I just want to take a moment and thank those of you who give financially to God through our church, because as we do that, it really does help change the world one life at a time in all kinds of different ways. Thank you whenever you give. Let's pray. Let's ask God to bless the tithes, the offerings, and let's also pray and ask God to speak into our hearts out of the Bible this morning. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to you right now financially, or whenever we do that, Lord, we pray that you would take our money and you would use it for your glory and you would use it to change the world one life at a time. Bless our gifts, our tithes, but also bless us, Lord, in being faithful to you with our finances. And now, God, as we study your word and we worship you that way, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me to every person, whatever we need to hear from you, God, you would use the Bible to speak into our hearts and into our minds. We say to you right now, God, we want to hear from you. We want you to have your way in our life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last weekend of our 40 Days in the Word campaign. Now, we still have our small groups this week. They're finishing up our campaign small group. So make sure you finish strong. Go to your small group this week. But this will be the last weekend that we're actually teaching about this. I hope this has been a good 40-day campaign for you. I know I've heard a lot of good reports. It's been a good 40-day campaign for me, and I hope it has been for you as well. But here's the deal. We don't want this to just be 40 days. No, we want this to continue on, you know, to keep going in our lives, right? Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. Jesus said, "You are truly my disciples," underline this next part, "if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So how do we do that? How do we remain faithful to the teaching of Jesus even after this campaign is over? Or another way of saying it is, how do I integrate God's word into my life? How do I integrate God's word into my life? I'm going to give you four ways that'll help you to do that. First of all, by making God's word the foundation of my life. You know what that means? That means that everything in my life has to be built on God's word. See, the quality of any physical structure is dependent on the foundation of that structure. And that's true in your life and in my life. The quality of how our life is built is dependent on the foundation that our life is built on. That's basically what Jesus is telling us in Matthew 7. This has been a big part of our campaign. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, that's the important part, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. So the bad news is that storms are going to come into your life. I wish that was not true, but it is. And we've had to face a lot of storms over the last few years, haven't we? And I hope the coming storms aren't going to be nearly as big as the ones that have been, you know, coming against us over the last few years. I hope that, but there's no guarantee of that. Therefore, we need to make sure that we are building our lives on the right foundation. We don't want to build our life on a faulty foundation. And there are a lot of faulty foundations out there that lots and lots of people are building their lives on. But if you build your life on a faulty foundation, when the storms come, your life is going to be blown over. It just is. Therefore, don't build your life on any one of these four things. First of all, don't build your life on popular culture. Don't just say, well, you know, I'm just going to do what everybody else is doing. You know, whatever's popular, that's what I'm going to do. No, don't do that, because pop culture, it's going to come and go. But truth never changes. And unfortunately, unless you're actively swimming against the current of pop culture, you know, if you're just sort of floating along through life, the current of pop culture is going to take you to a place where you're not going to be able to withstand the storms that come into your life. God said it like this to the Israelites. He said, you must not follow the crowd. Doesn't matter if everybody's doing it. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Second kind of foundation you don't want to build your life on, besides pop culture, is tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition in and of itself. But a lot of people hang on to their traditions at the expense of truth. Look at what Jesus says to the Pharisees in Mark 7. He says, hey, you guys ignore God's law and you substitute your own tradition. Now, as far as church goes, I know a lot of us are coming from different kinds of church or religious traditions. Maybe you grew up in a Catholic tradition. Maybe you're used to a more liturgical type tradition of church. Maybe you're more used to a more Pentecostal type tradition of church. None of those are wrong. Our church is a little different in our traditions than those kinds of traditions. And it's not because we're any better than any of those other traditions, it's just that we're different. And the reason we're different, this is what I want you to hear, is because we are trying to reach people who are far from God. The most important thing that we do in and through our church is reach people who are far from God. We want to see people surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see more than anything else. We want you to bring your family, have them come to the Vineyard, and they end up surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your aunts, your uncles. We want you to bring your coworkers. We want you to bring your neighbors. We want you to bring your friends, your loved ones. Have them come to the vineyard, and we want to see them give their lives to Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. And therefore, we will do just about anything this side of sinning in order to reach people who are far from God. So, there's nothing wrong with tradition. But you don't want to make tradition the foundation of your life. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible, it never changes. But the way that it's communicated, the way that it's embodied, that changes all the time. All the time. All right, the third thing we're not to build our life on, besides pop culture and tradition, is reason. Reason. Again, there's nothing wrong with reason in and of itself. You know, reason by definition is reasonable. In fact, God is the one who gave us as human beings the ability to reason. But sometimes what we think is reasonable is actually wrong. You know, how many times have you said or heard other people say something like, well, I always thought. Well, it doesn't matter what you always thought. It doesn't matter what I always thought. What matters is what's the right thing to do in this particular circumstance. See, when I just rely on my own intellect, when I do what I always thought, when I do what seems reasonable to me, it oftentimes ends up being a mistake. That's why the Bible says there's a way that seems right, seems reasonable, but its end is the way of death. I mean, just think about your own life. How many times in your life have you made a decision about some area of your life? And you made that decision because you thought, well, I think it's the right thing to do to marry this person. I think this is the right thing to invest my money in. I think this seems reasonable. This seems like the right thing to do on how to raise my kids. I think this seems, you know, it's reasonable for me to get involved in this relationship. And then what seemed like the right thing for you to do ended up being an absolute disaster. I mean, how many times has that happened in all of our lives? Why does that happen? Because reason is not infallible. We all make mistakes. So don't build your life on reason. And then the fourth thing not to build your life on, and this is the one you need to avoid the most, don't build your life on personal feelings. That's what so many people do in our culture. They live simply by their feelings, by their emotions. Well, you know, if it feels right, then I do it. If it feels wrong, then I don't want to do it. You know, if I feel like doing it and it feels right to me, then it must be the right thing to do, right? There's a big problem with that. You know what it is? Feelings lie. Feelings lie to us all the time. You know, sometimes your feelings will tell you that things are going really well in your life. And the truth is, your life is falling apart. Other times you think things are going really badly in your life. That's how you feel. But the truth is, things aren't nearly as bad as you feel like they are. Feelings lie to us all the time. They're highly unreliable. You know, if you end up living by your feelings, you're going to spend your entire life manipulated by your moods. Here's the truth. Most of what gets accomplished in the world today is done by people who didn't feel like doing it when they did it. They didn't feel like doing it when they did it, but it needed to be done, and that is when it got accomplished. You know, if you only do what you feel like doing, most of the time you're going to stay in bed, because that's how most of us feel most of the time. You know, a lot of times, if you want to get something done, you have to do what you don't feel like doing. And if you end up building your life simply on your feelings, there's a word for that. That word is immaturity. That's immaturity. Maturity and wisdom are when you act according to your values, according to your convictions, according to what's right, no matter how you feel. That's a person who's mature. You know, the Bible tells us in Judges 21, which, by the way, was written about 5,000 years ago. In those days, Israel had no king. Look at the last part. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Doesn't that sound like today? Everybody just doing what they feel like doing. Now, to show you how these different foundations are unreliable, pop culture, tradition, reason, feelings, I want to show you the difference between how Hollywood views relationships and how God views relationships. This is Hollywood's view of relationships. If you want to be happy, four things. First of all, put those up, please. Thank you. First of all, you need to find the right person. Second of all, if you want to be happy, then you fall in love with them. Third, then you fix all your hopes and dreams on that one person for all of your future fulfillment. And lastly, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. And just keep repeating them over and over and over. It doesn't matter how many times. That's Hollywood's view of how to do relationships. Let me give you God's formula for relationships. First of all, instead of trying to find the right person, become the right person. You focus on building character in your life. You focus on becoming the right kind of person who's worthy of this relationship. Maybe it's a marriage relationship. Who's worthy of marrying this other person? Instead of finding the right person, you work on becoming the right person. Secondly, instead of falling in love, you walk in love. Now, I've been telling you, you've been part of this church, you've heard me tell you this probably 100 times over the decades. Love is a choice. It is a choice. That means love is 100% under your control. It's under your control because it's a choice. It's not an emotion. You know, people say, well, you know, I just fell out of love. Couldn't help it. It's like you're walking along and you fell into a ditch. I had no choice. I fell out of love. No, you chose to fall out of love because love is a choice. It's not an emotion. Now, love sometimes creates emotions, and sometimes those emotions are great, but love fundamentally is not an emotion. It's a choice. See, love is me choosing your needs over my needs. That's love. Love is being others-centered instead of being me-centered. So, I need to become the right person. I need to walk in love. Thirdly, I need to fix my hope on God and honor Him through my relationship. And then last of all, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Again, those steps are become the right person, walk in love, fix my hope on God, and honor Him in that relationship. That's the difference between a Hollywood version of relationships and God's version of relationships. So if you want to integrate God's word into your life, you have to make God's word the foundation of your life. Now, if you're like me, I'll just tell you how I feel about this. I don't always agree with God's word. I don't always necessarily like what God's word says. God's word is always, not always, but often at least, very inconvenient. And yet, God's word is always true. It's always true. Therefore, I, for one, am going to build my life on God's word. The Bible is going to be my final authority for life. Not Oprah, not Beyonce, not Brad Pitt. The Bible is my final authority for life, and I hope that it's your final authority for life as well. All right, second step in integrating God's word into my life, besides making sure that God's word is the foundation of my life, is this. I need to make God's word the first part of my daily life. Now, we've just spent 40 days in the word. One of the things that means is, well, you just spent 40 days in the word. That means you can spend the next 40 days in the word. And then after those 40 days are gone by, then you can spend the next 40 days in the word. That's how you become a person of the scriptures, a person of the word. Jesus said it like this: seek first, underline first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Now, what are all these other things? All these other things are all the other things that we're worried about all the time. All the things that we're concerned about all the time. All the things in our life that we think we need. And Jesus promises here that if we will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things that we're worried about, all these other things we're concerned about, all these other things we think we need will be added to us. Therefore, I don't need to be concerned about them anymore. I don't need to be worried about them anymore. But we have to seek Jesus first. So how do we do that? How do we seek Jesus first? Well, part of what that means is give God your firsts. Give God your firsts. In other words, give God your first 15 minutes of the day. Give God your first 15 minutes of the day. Give God the first day of the week. That's today. Set it aside for worship. All of you are sitting here, you have. All those online, you're doing that. But oftentimes we don't do that. Give God the first day of the week. Here's a big one. Give God the first part of your money. Jesus tells us to do that over and over and over. It's called tithing. We're to give God the first 10% of everything that God allows to come our way. We're giving God our firsts. First part of the day, first day of the week, first part of our money. Now, you might say, well, Brian, what does it really mean to give God the first 15 minutes of my day? Well, one of the things that you do during that 15 minutes is you read the Bible daily. You read the Bible daily. Now, you can read the Bible from a physical Bible, or you can read the Bible from a Bible, you know, app. There are a lot of great Bible apps out there. For me personally, in the last several years, I've been reading out of the YouVersion Bible app. And as you get into a Bible app, there are a lot of different Bible reading programs that you can sign up for that will help you to read the Bible daily. Doesn't have to be a long time. Maybe you're not ready to sign up for a Bible program that's, you know, read the entire Bible in 1 year. That'll take you quite a little bit of time each day. But there are other ones like read the New Testament in 1 year. That takes a lot less time. There are other Bible studies and Bible, you know, series that you can go through. There are lots of ways, but read the Bible daily. How do I make God's Word the first part of my daily life? Read the Bible daily. And then after that, as far as giving God the first 15 minutes, then I need to pray. After I've read the Bible, I need to pray for at least 5 or 10 minutes a day. Now maybe you say, well, Brian, I'm not sure how to do that. I don't really know that much about prayer. Don't really know how to pray. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. And here's how to do it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So instead of worrying about those things, being concerned about those things, you talk about those things with God. And when you do that, Paul says in verse 7, after make your requests be made known to God, he said, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So all the things you're feeling anxious about, all the things you're feeling worried about, all the things you're concerned about, just talk to God about those things. And when you talk to God about those things, when you come away from talking to God, you're going to feel a lot less anxious about them anymore. So that's one of the ways you put God first in the first 15 minutes of the day. Another thing you might want to do is just, you know, maybe you're driving to work or whatever, put on some worship music as you're just sitting in the presence of the Lord as you're driving. Lots of ways to give God the first part of your daily life. All right, the third way to integrate God's Word into my life is I need to make God's Word a weapon for the challenges of life. A weapon. Say the word weapon out loud. Weapon. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Brian, what do you mean by that? How do I make God's Word a weapon for the challenges of my life? Well, the Bible tells us over and over and over, whether we know it or not, we are in a spiritual war. There is a spiritual war going on around you all the time. Most of the time, we're not aware of it at all. But there is one. And that means that you're going to have a lot of challenges in your life. You're going to have a lot of temptations come your way. You're going to have the attack of the enemy come against your life time and time again. But you don't have to fall during those challenges, because you and I, as followers of Jesus, we actually have the weapons of God at our disposal. Look at the way the Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians 6. He says, for our struggle, now that word struggle in the Greek language, it's the word agon, and it can be translated wrestle. Some of your translations say wrestle. We're wrestling. Our struggle is not against human beings, flesh and blood. Our wrestling, our struggle is against the powers, against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That means all around us. So one of the things God is trying to tell us through this verse and many others like it, he's saying, hey, you guys need to be aware as my followers, you're not the only team on the field. There's another team. And that team is fighting against you all the time. You are in a struggle. You are in a spiritual war. Paul said it a little differently to the Corinthians. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, in a flesh and blood body, we don't war, there's the word again, we don't war according to the flesh. Why not? Because the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Then he says, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I mean, there's so much in these verses that I could unpack. But the main thing I want you to get this morning is that we have weapons in this war against the devil and his minions. And the main weapon that God has given us in this war is his word. We are to use God's word to battle the enemy whenever he's attacking us. That's exactly what Jesus did when he was in a flesh and blood body 2,000 years ago. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted, Jesus was attacked 3 different times by the devil himself. And all 3 times, Jesus used the word of God. Jesus says, it is written. In other words, this is the word of God. In one instance, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, because the temptation was to turn these stones into bread. He says, it's written. He uses the word of God. It is written, don't put your Lord God to the test. It is written, worship and serve the Lord your God only. Jesus used the word of God whenever he battled the devil. So how do we use the word of God? Well, maybe you're going through a financial challenge in your life right now. You need to use the word of God. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. Very important words. God is able. Able to do what? To make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance of every good deed. You use that scripture. God, your word says, you know the financial struggle I'm going through right now, but I'm standing on your word, God. Your word says that you are able to make all grace abound to me, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, I'm going to be able to get through this financial situation. You use the word of God. You know, whenever you or maybe a loved one gets sick in some way, you use the Bible. Psalm 103, God forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. God, your word says that you will heal my diseases. I believe your word. I believe that you are my healer. I'm standing on your word, oh God. Whenever you're lacking confidence about something, use the word of God. Like Philippians 4, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, you know that I'm fearful about this presentation I have to do at work. I'm feeling insecure about it, but I'm standing on your word. It says, I can do all things, even this presentation, through Christ who strengthens me. When you're filled with fear, use the word of God. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? God, your word says that I don't need to be afraid, even though I'm feeling afraid right now. I'm standing on your word that you're with me right now. Maybe you feel like you're under some sort of demonic attack of some kind. Use the word of God. 1 John 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in where? The world. Greater is Jesus in you. You know that I'm fearful right now, God, but I believe your word that Jesus in me is greater than anything the enemy can do through the world. That's how you use the word of God, and you stand on the word of God. Because the truth is, we are in a spiritual war, and therefore we need to learn how to fight in the spiritual realm all around us, and we do that by using God's word. All right, fourth part of integrating God's word in my life, I need to make God's word a comfort for the dark days that come into my life. Look at this verse. This is one of the memory verses for this campaign. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is sort of the flashlight verse in the Bible. Flashlight. It says that God's word is a lamp to my feet. It's like a flashlight. It's showing me the way so I don't have to stub my toe in the dark. You ever feel like you're sort of in the dark in your life? You know, we all feel that way at times. Sometimes we think, man, I don't have the foggiest idea of how to deal with my teenage kids right now. God, I don't have the slightest idea how to fix this relationship with so-and-so. God, I don't have a clue of the best way to invest my finances. God, I have no idea on whether or not I should take this job or reject this job. God, I just don't know. God, I don't know what you want me to do with the next 5 years of my life. God, I just feel so confused. You ever feel that way? You're not really confused. You know what you are? You're in the dark. And what do you do when you're in the dark? You turn on the light. You turn on the light. That's why you need to memorize this verse. Because it's a promise from God. So the next time you're feeling confused, the next time you're feeling like you're in the dark, the next time you don't know what to do, you say to God, God, your word says in Psalm 119, verse 105, that your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. So God, keep your promise. I'm going to start reading your word. Show me what you want me to do. And as you start reading and you just start meditating on God's word and you start saying, God, I'm trusting you that your word is going to be a lamp to my feet and it's going to be a light to my path. I'm trusting you, God, that as I read your word and as I meditate on your word, you're going to begin to show me what you want me to do in this particular situation. You're going to see God do amazing things in your life. You'll begin to see God guide you in ways that you never thought possible. Stand on the word of God. So, here's what I want to challenge you to do. These are your next steps. Three things. First of all, I want to challenge you to keep doing what you've been doing. Don't stop reading God's word. Now, you say, well, Brian, I messed up. I really wasn't all that faithful. Okay, start over. Start over. You can always start over. What the enemy wants to do is discourage you and say, whisper in your ear, well, you know, you haven't been very faithful. Just completely give up. That's what the enemy wants. Don't allow the enemy to do that to you. Keep doing what you've been doing. Get up, read the Word of God. Secondly, I want to challenge you to keep being part of the small group that you're in. Now, if your small group's not going to continue after the 40 days in the campaign, then find a different small group. Try to encourage the group to keep going or whatever. But find a small group. Be a part of it. And then thirdly, I want to challenge you to keep having a daily quiet time, a daily devotional time. But keep the habit of group study going. Keep the habit of individual, personal study going. And as you do, you will become a man and woman of the Word. You really were, really will. I want to say one last thing. Some of you who are young, you're not going to believe this, but the next 10 years of life are going to go by. I know it's hard to imagine when you're young. You're like, 10 years, man, it's like forever. Well, as you age a little bit, they go really fast. I know you've heard that before, but they do. And 10 years from now is going to happen. Before you know it, it's going to be 2033. And you are either going to have 10 years under your belt of reading God's word on a regular basis, or you're going to be in the exact same place in God's word that you are right now. And it's up to you. Only you can make that decision. Am I going to give myself daily to reading God's word so that 10 years from now when I wake up, I'm going to have 10 years of God's word under my belt. Or am I satisfied with just being where I am right now in my spiritual life? Because it really is one or two of those things. One of those two things. Get up every day, read God's word, little by little, little by little, little by little. A year from now, you're going to go, wow, I can't believe how much of God's word I've gotten in me in just 1 year. 10 years from now, you'll be a completely different person. You really will. But it's up to you. Only you can make this decision for you. Become a person of the word. It'll be worth it. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way in every heart and every life that's hearing the sound of my voice right now. Maybe there's a commitment that you need to make to the Lord. Maybe there's an area of repentance you need to talk to God about right now. Holy Spirit, would you encourage those who need encouragement? Would you bring hope to those who feel hopeless? Would you bless the joy that some are feeling right now? Have your way, God. Help us to become a church filled with men and women of the Word, that the foundation of our life is built on your Word, Lord. You know, maybe you'd like to receive prayer before you go this morning. We'd love to pray for you. May not have anything to do with the message, but whatever your prayer request is, we'd love to pray. We'll have a ministry team up here. I'm going to dismiss the service in just one moment, but if you'd like to stick around, we'd love, love, love to pray for you. If you're online and you'd like prayer, just click the prayer button. One of our team members will get to you. Would you please stand? I want to pray over a blessing over us before we go. And if the ministry team would come forward. Lord, I pray for every commitment, every decision that people have made today. I pray, God, that you would seal those commitments in their hearts and that you'd give them grace to live those commitments out. And I pray, God, as we go our separate ways, would you bless each one? Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Say hi to some people on your way out. We'll see you soon.